Hi and welcome to another episode of The Leadership Enigma. And wow, we are now racing towards episode 50. I can't believe it's been 50 episodes. So it's a massive thank you to everybody who has supported, listened, subscribed, downloaded on all the various podcast platforms. So thank you. Some exciting news will come soon because as we head towards our 50th episode, there are going to be some changes to the Leadership Enigma. I'll say more about that as time goes by. Now, one of the things that's always a pleasure and a privilege is I get to meet and chat to wonderful people, especially entrepreneurs. And I'm fascinated by the entrepreneurial mindset, the resilience, the grit and determination to take a passion and turn it into a business. So come back to me just after this as we speak to Bea Adamek, who's the founder and CEO of Liberty Music PR.
In a constantly changing world, today is as simple as it gets. You're listening to The Leadership Enigma, a podcast to explore, experiment, and power up your leadership to make the difference to your business, your people, and your success. Whether you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or corporate executive, each week we dig deep into global experts, academics, rising stars, ambitious upstarts, and disruptors. Now, here's your host, Adam Pacifico.
Hey, B, and welcome to the Leadership Enigma. Now, I can reveal that we were both slightly dancing now to that music, but I'm also very self-conscious because you are in the music industry, so you're probably in some ways thinking about that music piece. Anyway, how are you?
Well done. I'm good, thank you. That was a really good jingle. I like that.
Did you like that?
Very professional.
That's one of the things that's perhaps set to change as we move forward and through episode 50 and beyond. But thank you so much for agreeing to be part of the Leadership Enigma. And
pleasure.
I really wanted to focus on your story. Nearly everybody I chat to, there is a very personal story behind who they are, what they've become, and what they're still, you know, striving to achieve, even through a global pandemic. So obviously you've broken into the music industry, but I know that's been a passion for you. But let's go back a little bit and just give everybody a little bit of a story or context about how we've got to this place.
Sure. So I got into the music industry quite late, actually. It was probably in my sort of early 30s, late 20s.
Right.
I managed to sort of break into it. So I had quite a traditional academic journey. Went to uni, did a business degree, finished, got into various marketing roles, marketing exec roles, working across the charity sector and the financial services sector. And it was only until during sort of my early mid-20s that I'd attended a festival. It was a Great Escape in Brighton.
Right.
And I thought, oh my goodness me, this is exciting. You know, seeing all the bands, seeing all the behind the scenes managers running around and their teams. And I just had this sort of, it was almost like a realization, a wake up call that actually I want to be part of that industry. And there I was sort of in my mid-20s with absolutely no connections to that industry whatsoever, and decided I was going to make it my mission to do something, to just get my foot in the door.
See, I love that. You see, it's never too late, is it, to be inspired by something, captivated by someone. But what was it that in your mind, well, actually in your mind, just made you think, no, that's for me. I must do that. I want to do that. Was there something specific or was it just you found yourself immersed in it and loved it?
I think that I found myself immersed in it. So, I'm not musical in any way. I didn't think I was particularly creative. I was definitely more of a sort of, had more of a strategist mindset. And I would, you know, because I followed sort of business accounting, marketing background path. So for me, it was more, it was just a feeling, I think, sort of being amongst those, that sort of network of people and just thinking, wow, it looks so exciting, certainly from the sidelines. So I basically thought, well, what can I do? How can I get into this industry? And it just started very gradually. Okay. So for me, I actually put myself forward to be a music journalist. So I looked at all of the key music publications that were out at that time, you know, some of the ones that we know, NME, things like that, Billboard, and Vice magazine. And I actually just put myself forward as a voluntary music writer.
Right.
And that was the very, very first sort of step on the ladder for me.
And how did you get that break then? Because as you say, you were trying to get into the music industry, which is notoriously difficult for anyone. Yes. How did you get that first break?
Someone just sort of believed in me, I guess. I just managed to, I mean, I was quite persistent. So LinkedIn was definitely my friend. Right. And I was also very good at networking. So I'm generally quite a chatty, personable person. So very good at talking to people, at a bar. And that's what I did. I just kind of networked my way into the industry.
So as you became, forgive me for interrupting, so as you became that music journalist for the first time, what were some of the things that you learnt about the industry? Did it heighten your interest in wanting to be part of it? Or did you start to see elements of it where you thought, well, I wasn't aware of that? What happened for you?
No, for me, it was it kind of amplified that drive and that desire to want to be in it. So that being able to write about artists and bands, I was sent on many sort of trips to see sort of various bands at venues. So, I was like on the guest list, I was able to interview quite a few acts as well.
Right.
So I was able to really kind of go into it from that area. And all of it was on a complete voluntary basis, but that didn't matter because at the time I was working and for me, I saw it as an absolute pleasure to be on the guest list, being able to review a band or an artist that was playing at my local venue. And it just slowly grew from there, if I'm honest.
Gotcha. So there's a massive difference, B, isn't there? You were doing this on a voluntary basis and loving it, to then deciding you want to do it for a living. Now,
yes.
That's a step change, isn't it? At what point in your life did you say, okay, I'm going to make that leap? And it is a leap from voluntary, having some fun, doing it as a hobby, to I'm going to make a living out of this.
Yeah, so I think I remember the day that I told my previous CEO. So I, at that point, when I decided that that was the year I was going to sort of take the plunge and jump over to the other side,
yep.
I was on a, I think I was on around 60K a year, which was actually fantastic for a Brighton salary. Yeah. In my early 30s, and I remember telling my sales director that I was leaving, and his jaw just dropped. He was like, "You're leaving to go and set up your own business in the music industry, but you've never done this before. What are you doing?" And so for me, it was all quite serendipitous, actually. So at the start, so it was 2016, of 2016. So from going from a music journalist, I ended up doing a bit of everything. So I ended up putting on my own music night in Brighton, curating festival stages, managing artists. I even had my own radio show at one point. So I kind of like tried all these different things, and none of them really was something I was that passionate about. I could see there was a natural leap.
Yep.
It was only when I started managing a band in 2016, we'd actually pay for quite a big PR campaign. We used a quite big agency. Results were pretty bad. And then I sort of jumped in to try and save the campaign, as it were.
Right.
Realised I'd had quite a big black book of music media contacts at that point, and actually turned the campaign around myself. And then another band actually got in touch and said, "Just saw that you did some really great PR for that band. Do you reckon you could work on our next single?" And that's where it literally just kind of launched. It was like a complete natural launch in early 2016. Suddenly I was sort of, I had 10 artists that I was managing, their PR campaigns that I was managing. And I just couldn't do everything. I couldn't do my full-time job and do these sort of in the evenings and the weekends and the first thing in the morning. And it was just a natural kind of pathway for me to do it.
So 2016 was the birth of the business, but I want to go backwards to come forwards because I'm fascinated by something you've said. Your boss, the sales director, you said he was very surprised. Was he kind of fearful for you, or was he in some ways jealous that you had the courage to say, "Do you know what? I'm going to follow my passion and thank you, good night, God bless, and I'll see you another day."
probably the latter, actually. I think,
right.
Because as much as it was an interesting kind of business that we're doing, it was quite dry as well. So the fact that I was sort of leaping into something quite exciting, I'm sure there was probably a bit of that. But I'm sure he also thought that, it wasn't really going to go anywhere. And I think, that I used some of that in my kind of my ammo kit to kind of power on forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing the clues, really, because as people are listening to this, they might be thinking to themselves, they are a founder, they're a startup, they want to start a business. What are some of the clues to how to go about this? So one of them is courage. Let's be honest, because you're making the leap from a well-paid job into the unknown. But you also said that you were doing lots of things. You had a radio show and you had this, that and the other. So what had prompted you to just be doing all of these things, essentially a massive experiment? You're not earning money from them. What was kind of propelling you to do all of these ventures?
Yeah, well, I just found them all really exciting. For me, I you know, having my own radio show, I found really exciting. I love the fact that I could sort of like, you know, had 2 hours where I could curate the music that I wanted. I could invite guests on that I wanted. Yep. And I felt like I was a part of it. For me, the thing that really I didn't want to do was just be looking at it from the sidelines. I wanted to be in it. And if that meant doing a radio show or blogging for a few music publications or putting on the odd night that didn't really bring in any money, I was in it, you know, and I was meeting the right people always.
Right. So here again, I'm looking for the clues. You know, I've spent some time in Silicon Valley, and what I'm hearing is very similar, is that you just did it. It's almost that phrase, screw it, just do it. And you just had a go at things, and you were experimenting, and you had no customers or clients at that point. So failure was fine, right? Failure is data, failure is learning, and you just move on. Is that a fair comment?
That's exactly it. Yeah. So for me, I was quite smart about it. So when I took the natural leap, obviously I'd already, so I didn't go from sort of working full time to just, you know, dipping my toe in it. I slowly started to sort of launch the business softly on the sidelines.
Okay.
So for me, I was like, right, I've got my full-time job. That's my commitment between 9 and 5. Everything around that, I'll be working on my you know, my new baby, which is Liberty Music. So I kind of did it really gradually. And then I got to a sort of ceiling where I just couldn't do both, because actually Liberty was becoming quite popular.
Right.
And it was, for me, it was quite natural that I was able to kind of make that leap. I saved up enough. I think I had 6 months worth of mortgage payments in my bank just in case. And thankfully I never had to sort of dip into that savings pot, because everything went kind of okay.
So again, there's that balance, isn't there? There's that risk and return. You were building up the business on the side in your own time, making sure you had some capital as well, so you had some kind of safety net. But then at the end of the day, you've got to make the decision, haven't you? You've got to go. You've got to press the go button and make that decision where you switch from one to the other. And actually, you said, didn't you, and this was your new baby. But actually, you started 2016, you started this business, didn't you, from your kitchen table whilst pregnant?
That's true. So on the last day of my corporate role, so I think I remember sort of feeling a little bit queasy, actually. That we had a bit of a leaving lunch with my all my old team and managers, and I felt really queasy. I actually found out I was pregnant on that day.
Wow.
So I suddenly thought, wow, this is going to be really interesting. I've just left a really great corporate job, permanent role, with actually a really good incentive package to go and do my own thing. And this is actually quite terrifying. So basically I spent most of 2016 pregnant and launching my new business, which was all kinds of fun and challenging at the same time.
You just used the word interesting in that quintessentially English way, which is a massive understatement, right? Because it was frightening as hell, let's be honest. You know, you're trying to break into an industry which is difficult to break into. I think we know that, don't we? We read about that, we hear about that. And then, as you say, you're leaving a corporate job, you're leaving the safety net, and you now find out you're pregnant. Tell me about the mindset at this point. Yes, of course, there's probably some fear, but what's the mindset that you have at this point, because you've pressed the button? Can you take me back to that, what you were thinking?
So for me at that time, I thought, this has got to work. There's more involved now. It's not just about me. Actually, I have an unborn child, that this business has got to work. There is no messing around. So I actually ended up burning the midnight oil for the remaining sort of eight months of that year, basically, and just went for it. I just had this sort of drive and this inner fire and energy that just made me sort of, you know, sprint down that track. to get what I wanted to get. And for that, for me, that was financial security.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're motivated. I mean, you were motivated anyway at the point of the decision, but now super motivated. And what I'm hearing is was you had extreme focus, one direction, and success was non-negotiable.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it had to work. There was no turning back. I couldn't, you know, because I had a child that's going to be born 8 months later.
Right.
So I had to, at that point, by the time she was born, there had to be some kind of system and structure and team in place as well.
I was going to ask boy or girl, but I think you answered that. You said she. What's her name?
Her name is Etta.
Etta, what a beautiful name. And so she was born during this focus on the new business. And then let's throw a pandemic into the mix as well, just for good measure. And here we are in 2021. So help our listeners understand now, where is the business now, some 5 years later?
Okay, so some 5 years later, we've gone from just myself to, I did a headcount last week actually, so we're doing a virtual cocktail evening next week. We've got 45 freelancers working for us at the moment.
Wow.
And yeah, globally. So they're all spread out, Australia, America, Europe, mostly in the UK. So five years later, we just celebrated our fifth birthday. So we're going to do a virtual event. And we're quite some far way forward now.
Brilliant. Well, I'm looking forward to gate crashing your virtual event. And I know that you've grown and, you know, you've now got more people, more mouths to feed. If I'm using the baby analogy, you've now got freelancers, you've probably got a team working with you. And as you grow, you have even more commitments. And I know that you've grown substantially, which is wonderful. And you're representing emerging artists. I think that's correct, isn't it? Independent and self-funded. Yeah. Is that right?
So that's exactly it. So basically where we sit is where an artist is at that stage where they're really serious about their independent career. They might have done a few other projects in the past.
Right.
This time around, they've got some financial backing and they want to invest in their future releases. They don't want to be signed by a label. They want to independently distribute. That's where we've slotted ourselves in, basically. We seem to have carved quite a niche in that area.
Right. And I think you know my cousin as well, Paul Pacifico.
Oh, yeah. I love Paul. He's brilliant. What he does for the industry is fantastic.
Well, he was on this show with Tom Middleton a number of months ago. But I know he's the CEO of AIM, isn't he? That's the Association of Independent Musicians. Yeah. So are they representing the kinds of people that you are now working with?
Absolutely. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay. And
things for artists.
Well, it's amazing. And I love the music industry as well. I know nothing about it, but so I'm learning. That's why I love this podcast as well. Every time I talk to someone, I learn. So there have been some wonderful successes for you as well, where you've worked with some great projects. Can you give us some examples of some things that you have worked on now? Because I know you're very proud of them. And again, this just shows what you can achieve in 5 years and through a global pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we started out, obviously we were kind of a nobody and we felt like we worked with those very early grassroots bands, right. But we love that. That's what we're very proud of. But fast forward 5 years, we're pretty much working with all the major labels. So we work with Universal, Sony, Warner Chappell. When they get those newer artists onto their roster or their signings, they don't really know what to do with them.
Right.
PR. So they've actually outsourced quite a lot of that work to us. So just that in itself is quite impressive that they've recognised us as that go-to agency. We also, in terms of some of the sort of more named artists we've worked with, we work with the bassist from The Killers. So Mark Stomer had his own album out a few months ago. So that was fantastic. We even had a track that was presented to us by Snoop Dogg actually only the other week. So that was quite interesting. We worked with Etta Bond. She's a leading urban artist, rap artist, and R&B artist in London. One of our biggest successes actually was an Irish artist called Ro.
Okay.
She actually started working with us right at the beginning of our sort of journey as an agency actually. And she went on to do a big stadium tour with Snow Patrol, which was fantastic. So, you know, we took her on when she was sort of relatively unknown. Now she's probably on New Music Friday, UK, Ireland, US, pretty much every other month with new releases. And she's definitely doing some great things.
This is great to hear, isn't it? And the fact that we're having this conversation, I think I might be cooler. So I'm going to tell my teenage daughter that I've had this conversation as well, in any way. There's something else I want to pick up on, because it's kind of more evidence of how you are being successful in the moment. And you spoke that you're working with some of the big labels. And you are a small entity. So how does that work? And I think what I was hearing you saying was you understand your niche. You understand the new independent and emerging artist. And that's where you come in to assist the big, big labels. Is that right? Have I got that right? You understand that niche.
Yeah. So it's not easy pitching independent artists out to the music press and Spotify playlists, and it takes a lot of determination. It'd be fantastic. We all know what it's like to work with a Rihanna or a Dua Lipa. I think at that point you're literally firefighting the press requests that are coming into you.
Right.
But when it's the other way round and you're pushing this artist onto the press, it takes quite a lot. It's a different kind of skill set. And we're really good at that. We've built some solid foundation network of relationships in the industry on the music press side. So when we send our journalists a new press release, they know it's going to be a good artist because they trust what we put to them, basically.
Right.
We've really carved out, you know, people have asked us, why don't you work with major label artists? Why aren't you working with the big, big names? And actually, I think I really prefer the space that we've kind of carved out for ourselves.
So you've built trust and you've built credibility. And as you say, you're mining your niche. You understand that cadre of artist. So this is wonderful from 2016 up to 2021. So where's this going, B? What's the aspiration? Where is Liberty Music PR headed?
Interesting. We've had quite a few interesting conversations over the last few months. There's been talks of us potentially collaborating with some bigger organisations,
right?
Doing something, becoming a bigger entity in terms of some sort of partnership. So that, you know, we're looking at potentially exploring that. We want to grow bigger. There's definitely no stopping us. I think we want to be the leading music PR, playlisting, branding, radio plugging agency.
We've also launched
a TikTok division as well, which is exciting. So more services. We want to offer the full 360 suite of services to an independent artist. Potentially moving into a more sort of app technology type offering.
Okay.
So we're looking at exploring that. There's loads of things that we're really excited about. More brand collaborations as well. We've got some really interesting brands in the pipeline that want to do some music collabs with us.
So how have you navigated through the pandemic? Because obviously the music industry, live music, is only just starting to come back. I was working with and chatting to the West End cast of Showstopper, who can't wait to get back into the theatre. Yeah. But yeah, Nothing's happened for 15 months. So how have you and these independent artists managed to get through intact, ready for the next phase?
Yeah, so for us, we've been quite lucky. We've always sort of operated in the digital space.
Right.
So it was very rare, actually. We did press campaigns for artists who were doing tours. It was more around the actual release. So it's always been digital releases.
Okay.
So actually, we saw our business double in the pandemic. We actually started this time last year, I think our headcount was just under 20. So actually we recruited an extra 25 people.
Amazing.
In 2020 and doubled. We had our sort of financial projection of achieving what we achieved last year in terms of turnover this year. So, you know, we excelled that, which was exciting. Our motto was to artists and team, music is going to get us through this. Don't stop doing what you love doing as an artist. Yeah, of course, there are sensitivities. People are going through bad times. But actually, they'd much rather click on your music and read your music right now, because it's giving people hope and entertainment and, you know, and all of those nice feelings that come with new music.
So this is an inspiring success story as well, which is a joy to have this conversation with you. And I hope lots of people are listening to this, whether they're working in corporate life or they have their own business. There is something to take away from this, which is why I'm always curious during these conversations. But you're the driver. Let's be honest. You're the CEO. You're the founder. You're the one with the mentality and the focus and the enthusiasm. So even as you grow in size, you're the engine. You've also got to look after yourself. And I know you and I talked about Miracle Morning. So this is quite personal to you. So tell us a little bit about how you stay well, stay energized and stay focused on the job.
Yeah, of course. So I've always likened myself as to a Ferrari.
Okay.
A Ferrari needs to be well oiled. It needs pit stops. You need to make sure that the engine's clean and all of that kind of stuff. And so to be able to perform at a high level, you have to prime yourself. Long gone are the days of just rolling out of bed and sort of slumping down to breakfast and starting the day like that. I mean, I can't do that anyway because I've got a child.
Right.
So, the issue with me is the minute 9 a.m. sort of rings in, I'm suddenly everybody's, and that's hard work. You know, the messages come in, right. The emails sort of flood my inbox, WhatsApp's going, all of that. And it's quite overwhelming at times. So I actually like that quiet time in the morning. So I actually set my alarm for 5 a.m. And it's taken me a while to get there. I was naturally always around a 6:15, 6:20 kind of wake.
That's very late. 5 a.m. I'm hyperventilating now, B. I'm not really a morning person. But so 5 a.m. All right, what happens at 5 a.m.?
It's much easier right now. In the middle of winter, it's horrific.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But right now, it's absolute pleasure. So get up at 5. So my morning miracle, my sort of, how I start my day, always starts with a bit of journaling.
Okay.
So I've got sort of a set amount of questions that I ask myself. And it's simple things like, how do I want to feel today in one word? What are the three intentions of my day that I want to get out of today? Who needs me to be the best version of myself? Those sorts of questions, they'll kind of stimulate lots of kind of thought and actions for me. So I do that every day, and that takes me about 20 minutes. I give myself 20 minutes to do that.
That's amazing. Thing. And this is fascinating as well, because it's not just about you being a human. Well, it is about you being a human being, not just a human doing. It's not just what am I going to do today? You spoke about who are you going to be today? How are you going to feel today? And you're in charge of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So being able to do that, that was game changing for me, kind of being able to set those intentions, as it were. And I also have an evening reflection. So I'll look back over that what I set in the morning, go, did I actually do what I said I was going to do? So it's really, that's really interesting as well. Always, I'm quite spiritual, so I always, a bit of a gratitude list. What am I grateful for? Because don't get me wrong, whilst it's been the best sort of 18 months or whatever for the business, it's actually been the most challenging for me as a leader. Some of the things I've had to experience as a leader over the last sort of, certainly 6 months has been really difficult.
Okay.
We've lost some really good people from the team that just wanted to kind of go off and do their own thing. We were involved in Spotify did a big sort of takedown purge in January. A few of our artists involved in that.
Right.
So it's been really, really challenging. So I actually do a lot of this just for mental well-being as well. So gratituding, always do some exercise, make sure I get out there and do it. So I've started doing a bit of a 6K run in the morning, making sure that I sweat. It's important to detoxify.
Yep.
I get back, I always have I sometimes have a cold shower. If you want to wake up, that's going to be the thing that's going to wake you up.
I hear you. I'm not sure I'm going to be doing it, but I hear you.
So it's that meditation, and then sit down and have breakfast with the family.
And all of that takes time, but it takes commitment. And again, success is leaving clues. Can I just ask you a question? What was the trigger maybe for you to commit to that priming for each day? Was it something specific, or did you just in your own mind think, I need to do this in order to be successful myself?
For me, I just felt a little bit overwhelmed by some of the things that were going on in the business.
Right.
And I thought, wow, I suddenly felt like I got into a bit of a reactive mode. And I thought, this isn't right. This isn't working for me. So I made the decision that I needed to be as proactive and as ready for everybody as I ever could be. And this is the way I saw that would work for me. And I've read loads of books on all of this. And it always came back to the same thing. This is the best way. The sort of top 5% of society do this, and they all sort of champion this sort of style of starting the day. And I thought, well, let's try it. And actually, it's definitely reaping the benefits, and it's been game changing for me.
See this chat now. So much is dropped out of this, which I think people are going to be listening to and think, I could try that. Or I always say that success leaves clues, and in this conversation, we're hearing the clues drop out. And that's why it's a pleasure for me. So I'm really grateful that we've had this conversation. How do people get hold of you, Bea? Because they might want to connect in relation to Liberty Music PR, or they may want to connect because they're also a founder, an entrepreneur, and some of the things that you've said really resonate with them, and maybe they'd love to connect and chat about it. How do they do that?
Okay, so I'm Bea Adamic out on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is probably one of my most favorite social platforms.
Okay.
So you can find me on there. I'm pretty much on it most of the day. Instagram I keep private. So it's all my kind of pictures of my daughter and family and stuff like that. So get a hold of me on LinkedIn if you want to find me. Otherwise, do you want me to give my email address
or what's the best way to find Liberty Music PR? What's the URL maybe for that?
So yeah, of course. So it's www.libertymusicpr.com.
Okay.
Also exactly the same at Liberty Music PR on Instagram, same on Facebook, Twitter. We've even got a LinkedIn page. So
there you go.
But absolutely. I mean, I get a lot of requests on LinkedIn from females, actually, young females, asking me if I could give them advice about how to get into the industry. So I'm always here to support and advise and help where I can.
Well, that in itself is amazing. And thank you for offering listeners as well to connect with you and being an inspiration, being a role model and being someone sometimes just to chat to and say, how do I do this?
Yeah.
And for you to say, hey, I've been through these challenges and you're human and here's how I did it, you know?
Absolutely.
I've got a final question for you, Bea, and it's this. Is what's the best piece of leadership advice that you've been given or given to somebody else?
It's an interesting one. I've been given so many. So just to be quite transparent, I have quite a lot of coaches that I work with.
Right.
So I work with a high performance coach. I have a mentor. So I'm always getting great, great nuggets of advice from these guys because they run multiple businesses.
Yep.
The common one that comes up all the time is do not forget your why. Why are you doing this? Why are you getting up every morning to do this? Because it's difficult. I think sometimes people see this role of a CEO founder as quite a glamorous experience, but it's not at times. Most of the time it's not. I'll be honest with you. But you need to, and when you're feeling like this, you have to go back to why are we doing this again?
Yeah.
Always sort of redefining the why for me, I think, is very important. And for me, it's always no one's bigger than the business. So,
right.
People have come and gone, but actually, no one's bigger than this business. And that's been quite a kind of bit of solid advice that I've got.
And actually, as a founder, I've got a follow-up question now, Bea, now that you've said that. But as a founder, one of the challenges for you is how do you exit? How do you succession plan? Because if you were to leave, let's be honest, you're the engine of the business right now. So that's a real challenge for a founder, isn't it? How do you get out of the way or exit your business so that it can continue without you?
Yeah, well, funny enough, I've been thinking about that already. And I've actually got quite a few things in play. So I actually, thankfully, I'm not so much a kind of day-to-day. I don't have so much of a day-to-day active role anymore.
Right.
Because actually I made that decision a year ago that I would put heads of in various departments of the company. So already we've started to do that. And actually, sort of in a couple of years' time, I think I'm also looking at new projects as well over the next year or so. It's starting to look for a future MD of the business. That's the kind of next move for me.
Amazing. And you're already doing that, I'd say, 5 years in. So that's great advice. And well, you heard it here first. You're looking for an MD. So job applications too. Listen, B, it's been great. Thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed being a guest on the Leadership Enigma.
And Thank you so much. I really look forward to listening back.
Oh, that's a pleasure. And all we have to do is to let the world know about it. Thanks very much, B.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Join us again next week for more essential insights on the Leadership Enigma. We'd love to hear your comments on today's show, as well as suggestions for future topics and guests. Get in touch with your host on LinkedIn or via our website, www.pca-global.com. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening.